because I have some thoughts on that too. But I want to try to take another stab at the question of, well, 2 + 2 = 4 with or without Christ. So great. It's so easy for you to fold Jesus and Sunday school answers into all of your humanity yeah. stuff. But
over here
in the sciences, yeah, man, we're this stuff is different than that, you know. Okay, it is different, sure. But when you said that, one of the things that popped into my head was a quote from old Norms and Nobility,
David Hicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hicks. Where I can't remember where it is, but somewhere in Norms and Nobility, he's talking about science, and he says that, you know, questions about the natural world, like how much rainfall is there here every year, and what's the pH of the rain, and, you know, that sort of question. The teachers of antiquity, Hicks says, would answer those questions in class. Okay, so science teachers, don't stop teaching that stuff. You know, like, good, teach it. But Hicks says they would hurry past questions like that, data, fact. You know, get the information, fine. But why are they hurrying through that? To get to the question that was behind it, that was to them more important. This notion of, like, what do all these facts that we just gathered say about our world and the Creator?
Yeah,
there's
a wonderful work, maybe a little heady for some, but you want a good, solid defense of how science leads to the Logos.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair McGrath, pretty a high-level writer.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of footnotes and whatnot, but Alistair McGrath, the finely tuned universe, builds this argument for, he's kind of rediscovering what was called natural theology, that nature itself speaks theology to us.
We've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, like the Psalter or someplace.
Right.
And so his thesis is that science, rather than sort of disproving the need for a Logos, begs for it.
Mm.
And it's this notion of tuning. You know, he gets pretty deep, but wonderfully so, into the minutiae of the Big Bang Theory and how many feel that dispels a need for God.
Okay.
But for it to work, at least based on what we know,
yeah,
there had to be somebody at the controls.
Okay, right.
The variables in that theory require oversight.
Okay.
Randomness would not produce this.
Right.
And I found the whole argument compelling, and I think that it's back behind. So we've said this before, we want to say it almost every episode. The old mind saw the natural world from the standpoint of God has made this, he's made it good.
Right.
If I want the greatest good, I've got to figure out how to live within this now fallen world.
Right.
It's not Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It's messed up, but I got to live in it. So I study it.
Right.
To find the wisest, most virtuous path through it.
Mm-hmm.
The new man says, nature's fungible.
Right.
I can fix it. Mm-hmm. We're destroying the planet. Let's fix it. And I'm not making a statement there about right. climate change or anything. I'm just saying that the mentality is that nature could be better if we worked at it.
Yeah.
So let's find ways to, and it's often through technique,
mm-hmm.
let's find ways to overcome the natural.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to draw specifics here that take us off in a whole other.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But the, so the modern science classroom is less about what you were talking about, discovering the, rushing past the facts to get to the glue.
Right.
The narrative behind it.
Right.
The modern classroom is about trying to acquire as much knowledge so as to gain as much power
right.
over
nature.
Nature to and its principles mm-hmm. and its power
right.
so that I can use it for my best interests rather than conform myself to it.
Right.
And that's, I mean, I hope our listeners spend that for a few minutes. That's a radical change in why I would teach science or math or the quote-unquote hard knowledge, the mm-hmm. unchanging knowledge, the material knowledge.
Right.
I even believe that you know, the discussion of the four sciences and how they're constructed,
yeah.
that we start with natural science. We start with that, what you were saying earlier, it is a corner piece.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things we know are so.
Sure.
It's tough to argue with gravity.
Yeah, right.
So let's start there in our studies of physics or transference of energy or certain fundamental principles that are just, they're pretty strongly so.
Yeah.
Science is hesitant to say anything is just always so.
Right.
But let's start and build on, you know, this paradigmatic mm-hmm. notion that, you know, Newtonian physics gave us a place to start putting the puzzle together of how this world works. Einstein comes along, wham. Now we got to rethink some of this.
Right.
But it's the pegs on which everything else is hanging.
Right.
And in many regards, you know, the 2 + 2 = 4 is a pretty solid fact.
Yeah. I'd say so.
By itself, it's meaningless.
Right.
And that was a math joke. With three other things, it means something.
Right.
but we get that into a kid's head pretty early. In fact, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, we start building off of these basic principles that work every time.
Yep.
We even go so far as to start teaching shortcuts to save time,
right?
Because it's going to work, whether you do it out the long way
right.
or the short way,
right?
It works.
Yep.
And that's a pretty powerful thing to have, as opposed to what you all get out of the Scarlet Letter. Phew! You know,
yeah.
A lot of puzzle pieces to get fit together from a whole lot of different minds. It's interesting to me that the minds in a math class are working on a smaller puzzle in some regards.
Right.
It's a pretty big puzzle.
Sure.
The you know, calculus is,
yeah.
But they get there in a much more uniform way than over in the humanities, where there's a variance of opinion.
Right.
And less so in the physics classroom.
Right.
Even though there, it's not like physics doesn't have more than one way to explain something.
No, definitely not. And I think that gets at another aspect of things, right? Like the distinction you drew a couple minutes ago between the old man and the new man. I think you said the old mind and the new mind.
Yeah.
That, you know, formerly people thought, like, how might I conform myself to the natural world? Like, what is my place in it? And that sort of thing. The new era, we now are sort of thinking, well, through technology, I can manipulate this mm-hmm. world and make it into what I want it to be instead of what it is.
Yeah.
I think in each of those, like, okay, I won't speak for you. My proclivity is to side with the old mind and to say, oh, get away from me. you new-minded people. But there is something in that, right? Like, it doesn't sound a million miles away from the charge that Adam is given, right? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.
Yeah.
There is this notion of stewardship that's often, I think, perverted into a sort of strict control, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's an aspect where, yeah, like we need to ponder that as educators. Christ, as a human, like he towed that line, right? Yeah. Like he was able to have dominion and yet also not pervert nature, right? So he controlled it, but not, I'm missing vocabulary, but it's like not, he didn't twist it. Yeah, he didn't mess it up.
Go to something specific. You have that scene there.
The fig tree is what I'm thinking
okay.
of.
And right. So you're supposed to be producing fruit. You're not
right.
Dead. You are
right.
And Yoda's in the New Testament. You just didn't know. But I'm thinking of the scene with the. I think it was the man with the withered hand, or somebody needed healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees get into a dispute with him over whether he could forgive sins or not.
Oh, it's the paralytic in Luke 5, okay. Where he's dropped through the ceiling, yeah, his right. buddies.
So
yeah.
He tells them his sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And they get all freaky they about grumble. That. Yeah. And he says, oh, okay, fine. Take up thy bed and walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or the lame can walk.
Right.
The second is incarnational to the nth degree.
Right.
I mean, the first is too, sure. But the second is visibly incarnational. You mm-hmm. can't walk, now you can. I've changed the rules.
Right.
But not, why? First, because Christ loved the Father
mm-hmm.
more than himself.
Right.
And second, he loved his neighbor as much as he loved himself.
Right.
This man can't walk. I want him to. It's not about me. And the new man is all about gaining through education.
Yeah.
The power to make it the way he wants it.
Right.
And
rather than the way it ought to be, there's this oughtness that's gone.
So Christ comes down. God becoming a man doesn't make any sense.
No.
It only makes sense if he's fixing something.
Right.
Which is exactly what he's doing.
Right.
We had the first Adam,
mm-hmm.
and he messed everything up.
Yes.
Now we have a second Adam who comes to begin setting it right.
Mm-hmm.
I would go so far as to say to set it right, the is and is yet becoming.
Right, right.
And so in the classroom, at least part of it is an understanding not just of we got this puzzle and we got to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the rigor of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big puzzle. We got to keep moving.
Right.
But a constant contemplation, mm-hmm. maybe we're back to this notion of eternity.
Yeah.
Of how it ought to be and how it is and how it is becoming more like it ought to be.
Perfect. Okay, good. Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at with this notion of eternity. So I'm pretty influenced by the group of theologians who subscribe to this idea of promise and fulfillment of promise being like how we know or God, who God is, right? And so, through, like, who is God? God is the one who keeps the promises that he makes, right? So he promises, then he fulfills it. That's who God is. That's how we know him. And so they, you know, Christ coming to earth, being born, and dying, rising, we're looking like, yeah, we're looking toward eternity at that point. And what we see is that, well, the way that it was taught to me, or the way that I sort of picked it up, is that what Christ has promised is like more certain than the world as it is right now,
mm-hmm.
right? Because God always keeps his promises, then those are certain in a way that nothing else is. And so then we read what the world's going to be like, right? What creation is going to be like. And like, well, man, now I'm really mixing metaphors, but like the puzzle piece, or like the jigsaw puzzle, now we can look and see what the creation is supposed to be like, and we order our lives
mm-hmm.
based on yeah. that future reality that is present now through Christ's promises. Okay, so that was a lot, but yeah, you see what I'm after.
So I have a iPad program.
Okay.
And when I get stuck at the doctor's office or someplace where they won't let me get online and conduct business,
uh-huh.
it's a jigsaw puzzle program.
Hmm.
And so I'll fiddle with it electronically. And it's set up so that you don't see continuously the complete picture.
Okay.
You have to toggle.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't realize until that program how often my eye, sitting at the card table doing the traditional puzzle,
right,
having set up somewhere, usually at an angle so you can see it real easily, how often my eye went to the image,
yeah, wow,
while trying to figure out this disintegrated image in front of me.
Right.
And I won't pretend. So I teach in the humanities, and it's much more familiar to me in the humanities.
Yeah.
But there has got to be something about the image of Christ, the incarnation of Christ, that allows us to teach Spanish
mm-hmm.
more richly
mm-hmm.
than if I discarded that image and was just trying to piece together how Spanish works as a thing.
Right.
Because it's a part of God's world, it has more clarity
yeah.
than if it was just a thing that I need to learn.
Right.
And I wonder if this isn't at the heart of much of the difficulty with modern education, is it's discarded the image,
mm-hmm.
and all the kid's left with is gobbledygook.
Right, a ton of puzzle pieces.
And I don't know how to make the metaphor work.
Right, yeah.
But we're actually putting together several puzzles
mm-hmm.
that are all coming together as one puzzle.
Right.
But we put some of the puzzle together in Spanish class, and some together in math class, and some together in English class. And it is making one, I don't know, Mr. Spock in Star Trek is probably, remember that chess set he used
right.
to have with
right.
8 or 10 levels?
Yeah.
You know, and you're playing chess. To me, that's sort of what this puzzle is like. It's a three-dimensional puzzle.
Yep.
It really is. It's
yeah.
a four-dimensional puzzle.
Sure, yeah.
That's moving us beyond dimensions.
Mm.
It's fitting us to live in a world mind-blowingly more real than this world.
Right.
Right? You know,
yeah.
I'm channeling my Lewis here.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly, the grass.
When he gets on the bus and he goes to heaven and gets off with his bare feet and he can't stand the grass because it's more grassy
right.
than our poor, pathetic little rendition of grass here on earth.
Right.
Which ain't really grass.
Right.
Right? So this, even the, even the act of putting the puzzle together is not the real thing.
Right.
It's the puzzle maker or the puzzle assembler becoming real as he fits his puzzle together.
Right.
It's him that's changing. It's not about the puzzle coming
together. Right, right.
Because, hate to tell you, there's always more pieces.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But you're more integrated into reality with each snap of the puzzle piece. And the beauty of it is, while I'm snapping my puzzle pieces together as a teacher, which is true as a parent, which is true as a friend, which is true as a professional teacher, professional teachers just get the feeling more often.
Right.
That it's not a single snap, but there's all these other commiserate snaps.
Right.
What's really cool is when a number of us in the room snap together and go, right. Well, that's cool.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You and I had the experience here recently of talking about the Iliad and finding this moment of snapping.
Yep.
Where it's like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, and we can't recreate that for the listener, unfortunately. Right, but I guarantee you there's no listener out there who hasn't heard the syncopated snapping.
Yeah.
You know, maybe with your son working on some project.
Right.
And it's like, oh. Mm-hmm. You know, or even in the workplace, right? If you work a day world.
Yeah.
You and a colleague come to some moment of, whoa,
hey,
okay. Mm-hmm. Now that's a good idea.
Right.
Why?
Well, yeah, we're noticing something, right?
The incarnation.
Exactly.
It's fitting.
Yeah.
And that I just can't get away from that. That we have set before us in Old and New Testament a portrait. I'm a theologian that believes that it's all about one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a big thing, the ultimate explanation of which was, tell you what, I'll send my son down there to show it to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
So much so that Peter, James, and John, right? They go up on the mountain, and they see this transfiguration. They get this little glimpse of it, of the real puzzle.
Right.
And they go, oh, let's just stay.
Well, we can build some tabernacles or temples, whatever.
I don't know what this bell ringing is, but class ain't over.
Right.
We'll skip lunch, teach.
Right.
We want to stay here with this idea.
Yeah.
And that's the moment, right? That's those little glimpses of what I think heaven is continuously.
Yeah.
I can't explain how it's possible, but it's almost like when you get there, you don't have to pick up the puzzle pieces anymore. They just start flowing together forever.
Yeah.
Well, and you just keep,
it's sanctification, right?
You just keep going, oh, crap. Look at how it's all going together.
Right. It's being, we're being reworked, right? We're being restored.
Yeah.
Into the image.
I would offer one other quick read. I'll put it in the notes. J.R. Tolkien is a favorite of mine.
Okay.
And a major reason is for his incredible imagination. And he has a little piece that I've taken a number of students through over the years, private students with, you know, that read and we get together and talk and whatnot. Leaf by Niggle.
Okay.
I'm not gonna ruin it for you.
Yeah.
But his imagination grasped hold of this notion of the vast painting that all of creation is.
Okay.
By having Niggle be this guy that niggled a lot.
Okay.
The English term for just goofing around.
Yeah.
And he goofed around with painting.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this whole masterpiece that he was going to do, but he keeps getting called away by neighbors that need help, by a wife that won't stop with the honey-do list, etc.
Right.
And when it's all said and done, you know, Niggle has only gotten one little leaf painted in this masterpiece.
Okay.
I'm not going to ruin the rest of it.
Okay.
But
I'm intrigued.
But Leaf by Niggle is another way of looking at this whole jigsaw puzzle
yeah.
metaphor, this incarnational thing that we've yeah. been trying to set forward. Merry Christmas, everyone. We've given you something you can think about for the rest of the year. This is a gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
I don't think there's a way to wind this down, so to speak.
No, I don't either, but...
But it's fun talking about it. And class is a whole lot more fun with him in it.
Yeah.
Than when you're in a context where you got to try and... Okay, you know... I know this is all about the incarnation, I just can't say it.
Right.
I think you can teach that way. It's just so hard that I don't know why you'd choose to do that.
Yeah, that's tough. But if you find yourself in that situation, then do the best you can.
Yep.
You
know, so in the back of your mind,
right.
keep that puzzle going.
Right. And if you are not in that situation,
rejoice.
If you are in a situation where you can speak the truth that you know freely, yeah, as you say, Steve, rejoice.
That's where the Hallelujah Course starts up.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, yeah. Good stuff. Well, everybody, Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you again soon.
Well, thanks again for joining us in this great conversation about education. We hope you will not just listen, but participate. Leave us a comment, suggestion, or thought on our website. You just never know when we'll use it on the show. Until next time, pursue joy and learn something.